The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, well, you may not know this, that cancel culture works both ways. There are certainly things. Who doesn't want to cancel abortion, for example? Stuff like that, right? So cancel culture can work both ways. Obviously, for the last couple of years, it's really only worked in one direction, and that's the liberal progressive direction. But on an issue that's critically important, whether you have school-age children or not, you should care about what's going on in the schools. Again, whether you have kids in private school, homeschool like we do, or no kids, or older kids, or just grandkids, we should all be caring about what's going on in the public schools. I shared with you last week, interestingly enough, right here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, but the Raleigh particular area, Wake County, one of the largest school systems in the country, and going a full tilt on critical race theory to the point of saying, you know, just ignore the parents as well, especially white parents, because they're not going to get it. And they're all white fragility and white guilt and all the other stuff. And they're privileged and upper middle class, so they're not going to understand anyway. So we're just going to ignore them and reprogram their children to critical race theory thinking, which is diabolical, right? It just is. Whether it's you want to talk about critical race theory, American history, you want to talk about sex education, to completely ignore a parental a right to really be the first and foremost teacher of their children, and to have an opt-in, opt-out mentality towards whatever's going on in the public school system. So this made national news. It was all over the place. And our good friend Sloan Rackmuth, who's been helping us understand what's going on with all of this, Education First Alliance NC, I saw a little thing on Facebook earlier today. And quite frankly, because I'm so stinking cynical, I was like, I don't know that I can believe this or not. Sloan, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Doing great.
Okay, so this looks like a potential win. This is a big deal, so fill us in.
Well, yes. I mean, I think now our consciousness is raised since the two stories came out, one from Chris Rufo in City Journal and then another one from The Daily Wire, and you're exactly right. So Wake County has something called Office of Equity, and they have been doing radical critical race theory trainings for the better part of a year and a half. And local journalist AP Dillon has been wonderful exposing these issues and kind of, you know, getting documents behind them and getting the evidence. And so what we have, Education First Alliance, we have found that this isn't a Wake County problem. And so telling, you know, teachers to ignore white parents, literally rewriting text in real time and destroying Western canon, those things are also coming from the North Carolina Department of Instruction. There was a 9-week intensive that started on March 1st for all teachers in North Carolina with the imprimatur of the NCDPI that taught teachers to use race in every single thing that they taught, and even teaching that math was racist, language was racist, and ordered every teacher that was in the particular seminar to use a tool, a bias tool, and this is going to make your head explode, to look at every single thing that they're assigning to make sure that Christianity would not be played in a favorable light, heterosexuality would not be played in a favorable light, any home with a father in it, or ableist. In other words, if someone wasn't disabled in any way.
Yeah.
So none of that could be elevated. And more importantly, anything that suggested American exceptionalism. I show a video on the website where the teachers are being trained in real time to alter that specifically or completely eliminate it from any teaching.
So where's the good news here? Because that's all garbage and that's all evil and that's all problematic, obviously.
Definitely. Yeah, the good news is this, is that due to pressure that that our organization and the parents, many wonderful people and concerned citizens, have placed on Catherine Truitt, who is a superintendent of the Department of Instruction. Two things have happened. Number one, we saw on Thursday that the website, the DPI website, had been scrubbed of all of these files that had the training on there, and even any evidence that it had happened. So usually as a journalist, when I see that, that raises more questions, right, than answers. Luckily, on our website, we have downloaded it. We have it. But also, we have had Superintendent Truitt, after 500 phone calls, emails, et cetera, we have had her in writing privately say that the training has been stopped. Now, we would expect a public statement condemning this training and assuring all of us it will never happen again. She will not do that. So while the DPI very publicly advertised the training before it happened, they are allegedly quietly behind the scenes sunsetting this particular training.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, the only one really at a high level in North Carolina government that's speaking out against this is Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. He's actually booked to be on the show this Friday. So between you, Sloan, and more parents and just North Carolina North Carolina citizens, because if you're here in North Carolina and you're a taxpayer, you have something to say about this. If you're a Christian, if you have a biblical mindset at all, Old and New Testament, you should care about your neighbor. You should care about the children and being correctly taught how to think instead of what to think. And we need to keep the heat on. So what can we do, Sloan? We're going to hit the break here in a minute. But what can we do to help and try to police our own school systems across the state?
Absolutely. Well, I want everyone that's listening today to not only go to our website, and that is edfirstnc.org, edfirstnc.org. Not only do I want you to sign up for the mailing list, I want you to hit blog. The latest two entries will show you videos, slides, and evidence where you can see for yourself. We want everyone here to make their own decision about what they think about the material.
Right.
And I want you to share it with 25 other people. Do it today. We have to educate everyone in the state about this problem.
That's right. And like Ronald Reagan used to see, you either make them see the light or you make them feel the heat. And in this case, we have to do both. I just put that link up on the Facebook Live. So if you guys caught that, edfirstnc.org is the website, edfirstnc.org. Get signed up for the updates and then get to the blog and check out the first couple of entries, the most recent ones, because you'll be able to see the video and the proof here. Sloan, we'll keep paying attention, keep us in the loop, and we'll keep fighting this good fight. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk again real soon. We'll be back. I want to follow up on that. A very courageous PhD professor was on Glenn Beck today. We talked about him last week and other things. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. It's good to hear from Sloan Rackman. So people paying attention, getting involved, raising the temperature, make them see the light or make them feel the heat. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. And that's what's going on in the public school system. And again, for those of you that are maybe older Christians or your kids are out of school or you homeschool, or maybe you're just thinking about grandchildren now, maybe you're not even here in Wake County is what we're talking about, Wake County, North Carolina, in the Raleigh area. It doesn't matter because this type of stuff is happening all over the country. It's not just where I'm at. It's across the state. It's around the country. And we have to be engaged, whether it's your kids or not. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. And like I've been saying since January 20th, let's really focus on shrinking the country. Shrink the nation. Look to your own backyard, your own sphere of influence. Local, local, local. Focus more on that in terms of what you can do to make a difference with a biblical worldview for the kingdom, for the glory of God, for the gospel. Look local. Okay, don't spend as much time being quite as obsessed with what's going on in D.C. It matters, but you really can't have a whole big impact up there. But locally you can, and that's why Sloan's engaged and all these other people, which is great. And listen, there are things to talk, you know, critical race theory. Should we study race and its implications in the history here in America? Yes. As a matter of fact, for all you homeschooling families here in the Raleigh area, people have been asking me for a few years, Steve, would you ever consider teaching U.S. history? Because that's largely become almost 100% politicized. So this fall, for the first time, this will be my 10th year teaching high school age homeschoolers, I'm going to teach U.S. history. I probably just got blocked on Facebook and the government and Apple, and my phone's probably going to blow up or something on the way home. So I'm going to teach U.S. history this fall. I'm going to have multiple classes here in the Raleigh area. So if you're interested in that at all or know somebody that you might be, this is high school level, okay? Honest, open, we'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. America has a resume like yours and like mine. There's good things and there's bad things. And you need to discuss it all. Take an honest look, the truth, at the history of the nation, okay? Which doesn't happen much anymore, but it will in my class. So if you're interested in that for this fall, that's a two-semester class, U.S. history. Just send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com, steve@thestevenobleshow.com here in the Raleigh area, and I'll send you the information. Okay, so one of the things that I talked about this story last week, Professor Aaron Kinsvatter, who's at the University of Vermont, a brilliant guy, PhD, involved in counseling from that perspective, sociology, comes from a family of educators. And he came out and made this video. It's about 9 minutes long, criticizing what he dubbed the secular religion of race at the school. And this discrimination is against whiteness. It is today, he said. He continued, so whiteness falls under the umbrella, and the derogatory meaning of the word falls under the umbrella of critical social justice or critical race theory. The thinking that informs it is so crude and so lacking in falsifiability. I first heard of whiteness when a faculty member offered to help me with it, like I was some kind of disease. Which is why, and I know this is hard to hear, but in this movement right now, that's why I keep saying, kind of like a hashtag, white is the new black, black being a group of people that have historically been marginalized and abused. That's beginning to happen to the white class here in America through critical race theory, where it was supercharged by BLM and the things that happened. And again, you have to be discerning. There are things to deal with that are reality and true, and we need to have those hard conversations. Okay, I'm down with that 100%. But this is going way beyond that now. In its impact, so especially on children, okay, which is why I'm paying so much attention to it with the school system. So this story from last week with Professor Aaron Kinsvatter, he was on Glenn Beck's show earlier today, which is why I emailed him this afternoon. And the thing that he was talking about, which I haven't heard enough talk on, is the fact that the impact on our children, black children, white children, Asian children, Latino children, kids from a two-parent home, kids from a one-parent home, all that kind of stuff, when we are resegregating the country. We're resegregating the country. I thought we were fighting and shed our own blood over all these issues, but now we're going right back down that road. We're resegregating the country. So you're teaching, what are you teaching little white kids? That they're all guilty, that they're less than, that they're inherently evil because of the color of their skin. If you're white, then this, that, the other thing, isn't that racist? And to tell a little black boy or a little black girl or a little Latino boy or girl that the cards are stacked against you in this country. Now, there's some realities to deal with there, but you're also telling them you can't make it. The whole system. So just wipe out hope, increase jealousy and covetousness, resentment, bitterness, forgiveness. Forget that. We don't do forgiveness. That's over with. We cancel. Forgiveness is not available to you. If you're not woke and if you're not progressive enough and if you're not into critical race theory and all the other stuff, there is no forgiveness to you, only damnation from their perspective, which is why you get the cancel culture. And it's just getting out of hand. But that's the answer. That's the anti-religious answer to there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Well, what's the wages of sin if you're not woke enough, not progressive enough, and you're white especially? Well, it's cancellation. We're going to deal with you. You're a scourge. You're a cancer. You need to be removed. This is really scary stuff. So I heard about this one. I read this article. Let me share this with you, just so you know just how far off base you are. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say off base anymore. Hold on. Okay, this is from an article. Cigna's critical race theory training, don't say brown bag lunch and be mindful of religious privilege. Employees at one of the nation's largest health insurance providers. This all comes right out of their training information. Okay, this isn't just some whack job over here in the corner eating Wheaties in the morning and coming up with a blog post based on things they heard on Twitter. No, this is actually information that's come out of Cigna. Okay, employees at one of the nation's largest health insurance providers are routinely subjected to critical race theory lessons and asked not to consider white men in hiring decisions, according to leaked documents and chat logs obtained by the Washington Examiner. Those who work at Cigna told the Washington Examiner they are expected to undergo sensitivity training they consider racist and discriminatory. Lessons include a review of concepts such as white privilege, gender privilege, and something called religious privilege, which is described as a set of advantages that benefits believers of a certain religion, but not people who practice other religions or no religions at all. That's why I keep saying white is the new black, but especially white hetero Christian. If you're white heterosexual Christian, male, whoa, you are the scourge of society. Whether you know it or not, but we need to educate you so you can know just how much of a scourge you are. Employees say they are pressured to comply with inclusive language outlines that suggest replacing terms. Well, let me just take you through some of them. All right. We're going to hit a break here in a minute. So let me just take you through this. Here's some things that you normally might say that you probably think are fine, but you're wrong because you're just not woke enough. You're not sensitive enough. You're blinded by your own biases and hatred. Okay. So here's one. You were grandfathered in. No, you can't do that. A continuation of or legacy. Got to correct that. So if you say, hey, I was grandfathered into that, you can't say that. It's too paternal. Brown bag lunch. I'm going to brown bag it today. You can't say that. Remember that? Are you old enough? Me even asking that question is a microaggression. Are you old enough to remember brown bag lunch? What does that mean, boys and girls? Remember you used to put your little bologna sandwich and stuff in a brown bag, fold the top over, and carry that to school? That's a brown bag lunch. You can't say that anymore. We'll be right back. Are we having fun yet? That's what I say to my wife when I'm really frustrated. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I was just talking to my friends on Facebook Live. If you want to join us here in the studio, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook or on YouTube. We started a YouTube channel, you know, because you're not a decent human unless you have a YouTube channel, apparently. So you can go to there as well, the Steve Noble Show YouTube channel, or here on Facebook Live and join us in the studio. And then we continue conversations on the commercial break. I kind of hit the pause button. So I was just starting this Cigna's critical race theory training, just to kind of make you aware. This is widespread. It's all over the place. So I hit the pause button on that, and then we kind of changed directions, talking about something else during the break. And sometimes on Facebook, when I would post a story about any of this critical race theory stuff, racism in general, and it was kind of an attack on whiteness or whatever, some people would say, I'm proud to be white. And I've always been like, I don't really think like that. I'm proud to be a redhead. Am I proud to be a Christian? I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. Am I proud of it? I don't know. Pride goes before the fall. So every time I hear pride or prideful or proud, I struggle with that. I think any of us should. Especially if you're in Christ, you should struggle with that. So that's kind of what happens during the commercial breaks. Anyway, I don't really understand why people say that. I don't think it's helpful. But anyway, this was a list from Cigna. This is from people. Whistleblowers, by the way, are everywhere. You can do that anonymously. You can dump stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever. And so this is screen grabs from the actual training at Cigna talking about inclusive language. And I'm just trying to help you, especially if you're Caucasian, because you're saying all kinds of stuff on this list and doing all kinds of harm and don't know that. So I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to better society here. This is all part of sensitivity training, critical race theory training. So grandfathered in, can't say that. Brown bag lunch, nope. You can say lunch and learn or grab and go, but a brown bag lunch, nope. Why not? I have no idea. Hey, guys. Yeah, I can't do that. Microaggressive. You're assuming too much. So instead, at Cigna, you should say, hey, team. Hey, friends. Hey, you all. Hey, y'all people. What? No, that's a microaggression against Southerners. You're so articulate. You can't say that. What? Cigna. Why can't I tell somebody they're articulate? What if I tell a white person they're articulate? If I tell a black person they're articulate, remember when Joe Biden did that about Barack Obama? Go back a few years, remember that? He's a clean, articulate young black man. As if that was something to be achieved or a shock to him. I don't know what that was all about, but that was, are you kidding? So I think that's probably where that comes from. You can't, definitely don't do this. Wives, husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends. You cannot do that. Hey, you're going to bring your wife? Hey, can I bring my wife? Can I bring my husband? No, you can't do that because you may be offending somebody. A woman, perhaps a lesbian who's married to another woman, so she doesn't have a husband. You said, your husband, can I bring my husband? Which would be offensive to her because she doesn't have one, so you're judging her, right? You got it? Mothering and fathering, you can't do that. Because what if you have a lesbian couple and they have a kid and you say fathering? Well, they can't do that, which is the whole problem with same-sex marriage and same-sex parenting, by the way. Going into this blind. Hey, I'm going into it blind. What does that mean? That means you don't have any idea what you're walking into. I have no advanced knowledge, nothing. But going into a blind, you can't say that anymore. You could say going in unaware or not knowing what to expect. But going into this blind, you can't say that's offensive to blind people. Man, I had a crazy day. Nope, can't do that. That offends crazy people. Man hours. Nope. How many man hours did that take? Huh, you can't. Doesn't matter that it's mankind. Mankind is microaggressive. Got to change that. Oh, there you go. Next on the list, mankind. Figures. You can say humankind or humanity. Can't say mankind. Quiet in the peanut gallery out there. Quiet in the peanut gallery. Can't do that. They're hecklers. Off the reservation. I kind of get that one. I'm off the reservation here. I'm outside the boundaries, right? The reservation. Get that one. I understand that one. This one. This has got to go. Master bedroom. Hey, can you come give me a quote? I want to paint my master bedroom, my master bath. Can't say that. You could say primary bedroom or primary bathroom. Long time no see. Can't see. You're doing it again. No see. So insensitive. No can do. Hey, Steve, can you come home today and paint the kitchen? No can do, honey. Oh, sorry. That's a problem. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip. That's got to be cultural appropriation because hip, hip, hooray sounds too much like hip hop. That's my guess. Blacklist, whitelist, that's obvious. Can't do that. You're too young to remember this, but can't do that either. Microaggressions listed include, this is at Cigna. Cigna is an enormous company. Enormous, okay? Really, really big company. Cigna is enormous, okay? Microaggressions. Do you even know what Facebook is? Can't say that. Are you a nurse? Can't say that. Our inclusive culture at Cigna means that we're working hard to ensure everyone feels respected, welcome, and like they belong, wrote Susan Stith, the Cigna Foundation's Vice President for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Corporate Responsibility. Because where this is going, and I got to give Glenn Beck his props, is we're moving in a direction, China's already doing this, where you're going to get, as an individual and as a company, private or public, you're going to get kind of a score on how you look at the environment, how you look at inclusion, gender things, LGBTQ, societal care and concern, activism. You're gonna get a grade, and then that grade is gonna then impact how you buy or sell, how you can do business. Well, maybe even how you get a loan. Okay, which is all part of the Great Reset, by the way. Which again, I say things every once in a while now in the air, like I just did. And 2 years ago, I would have never said that. I would have been like, that's cray cray stuff. Sorry, Glenn, too cray cray for me. Now, not so much. Here it is, the societal norms checklist. Tell me which one you are. You got to check these off. Check your privilege. This is what it says right here on the screen grab from the Cigna training. Check your privilege. Are you able-bodied? Are age 25 to 55? Are you a Christian? Are you a cis male? CIS-male, cis male. That means you still identify with the sex of your birth. You haven't changed your gender and your sex match what you were born as, you know, like God said. Heterosexual, upper class, and white. Check all those off. That's me. Able-bodied. I'm 55. I'm right at the end of that scale. I'm a Christian. I'm a cis male. I'm heterosexual, upper class, upper middle class, and white. wow. So I got a lot on me, apparently. 73,000 employees and offices worldwide. 13th largest business in the country as measured by revenue in the Fortune 500 rankings. And of course, they want you to read books like White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo and How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. The lessons learned from the sensitivity training seminars, some employees allege, have even extended to the hiring process. Chat logs between an employee and a hiring manager. Please, Lord, help us. We're dividing, creating hatred, covetousness, jealousy, no forgiveness, and bitterness and resentment. That's what this is doing. That's what grieves my heart as a Christian, okay? What this is doing, what we're doing to ourselves, what we're allowing to be done, especially to our children. Chat logs between an employee and a hiring manager viewed by the Washington Examiner detail an incident where a minority candidate with strong credentials performed exceptionally well in an interview. When that employee suggested to the hiring manager that the company waive the candidate through to the next step in the process, the hiring manager dismissed the candidate under the assumption he was white. So obviously he hadn't seen him. After learning that the candidate belonged to a minority group, the manager said she was excited to hire him, despite learning virtually nothing else about his background. Quote, given the hiring practices they have in place where white male candidates are blocked, regardless of qualifications, I have to say, yes, there's an obvious discrimination at this company, one employee told the Examiner. Another time, an employee suggested a candidate with years of industry experience. That employee was informed by the hiring manager that the candidate, a white man, could not be interviewed because he didn't meet the diversity criteria. So you see where this is going, right? And when this is being taught to our children, again, we are seeding the ground with resentment and hatred and judgmentalism and unforgiveness and saddling people with guilt that they don't deserve to have and hatred. And it's just, we're resegregating. So just like Columbia University has what, 6 different graduations now based on what critical or what intersectionality group you belong to. Where's this going? It's not going to go anywhere good. You take this kind of thinking, devoid of a biblical worldview that values all people equally, everybody made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, and should be given the opportunity to blossom as somebody made in the image of God, knowing that we're not going to have equal outcomes, but we should have equal opportunity, and that we should be quick to forgive and slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to anger. This is reverse engineering the whole thing. You do see that, don't you? Who would possibly want to do that? From a spiritual darkness perspective, who loves division and lies and hatred and covetousness? Oh, that's right. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? See, you think it's just political or cultural, educational. No, like most things, it's deeply spiritual, which is why we, if you're a follower of Christ, should care. Because it reverse engineers the truth of God's word. Very, very dangerous. More on this when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. My buddy Alan on Facebook Live just said, snarky Monday now. Usually I'm snarky on Fridays. Now, apparently, I'm snarky on Monday as well. Sometimes I can't help it just being snarky and laughing and mocking because it just gets so frustrating and anger intensifying that I guess that's a coping mechanism. Can I get an amen from anybody? So we've been talking about cancel culture, all this crazy stuff, and talking on the break with my friends on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, which, by the way, so cancel culture, is that new? Is that a new phenomenon? I've got a couple more stories I want to get to here. Is that a new phenomenon? It isn't. And I was reminding my friends, my Christian friends on the video side during the commercial break on radio, hey, cancel culture is a normal part of the Christian life. It goes all the way back through the Old Testament, right to the garden. Who was trying to cancel paradise? Oh, that's right. Satan trying to cancel paradise. Did God really say... Right? Okay, started right there. Let's cancel paradise. And then what do we do with all the prophets? We kill them. And then what do we do with the Messiah? Cancel that guy. Got it. That didn't work out so well, by the way. Sorry, Satan. Can't cancel the uncancelable. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus, right? Can't cancel him. That's awesome. Which, by the way, if your house life is built on that foundation, you can't ultimately be canceled by anybody on this planet. Isn't that awesome? So where's the smile on your face and the little hop, skip, and a jump in your step? That, remember that. If you're in Christ, if you're born again, that's a reality for you. So I look at cancel, and I care about the culture because it's what it's doing to people. But ultimately, for myself, I'm like, it can't cancel. What are you going to do to me? Kill me? Okay, I have an eternal reward, eternal bliss, eternity with my Father, a new heavens, a new earth. That's I'm already in it, and then I'm just that much closer to it. Just like Paul said, to live as Christ and to die is gain. He'd rather be with God, but God wasn't done with him here on earth yet. Okay, cool. So you can't really cancel me in any formidable way. So they tried to cancel Jesus. They tried to cancel. Paul tried, as Saul, tried to cancel the early church. Rome tried to cancel the early church. Nero tried to cancel the early church. Every emperor for about 300 years tried to cancel the early church. Nice try. Loser. Failure. Loser. Then all the apostles, except for John, all martyred, all canceled, quote unquote. Yeah, right. Nice try. And then all through church history, last 2,000 years. Oh, you want to translate the Bible out of Latin into English? No. You want to push back against kind of all the problems that were in the Catholic Church in the 1500s? No. We got to cancel Martin Luther. We got to cancel that. Cancel. Nice try. Bring it on. Maybe in this world, this broken world, where the prince of the power of the air that still has whatever power God has allowed him to have. But ultimately, nope. Okay, let's look at this. Now, this is a good example because this is effective. All right, satire. Look at this malicious, unsubstantiated shot the New York Times took at the Babylon Bee. How is this not defamation? So this is from Not the Bee, which is a non-satirical website, talking about the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical website. And they rip both sides, okay? The Babylon Bee. If you've never watched it before, it's hilarious. Here's the article from Mike Isaac, tech reporter at the New York Times. The premise of the piece is basically defending liberal cartoonists whose satirical comics were being pulled from Facebook. But Mr. Isaac threw this malevolent little paragraph in there. Quote, but satire kept popping up as a blind spot. See, you gotta root out whatever is against the progressive ideology. You gotta root it out. Gotta kill it. So now they're saying, oh, satire. In 2019 and 2020, Facebook often dealt with far-right misinformation sites that used, quote-unquote, satire claims to protect their presence on the platform, Mr. Brookings said. For example, the Babylon Bee, a right-leaning site, sometimes trafficked in misinformation under the guise of satire. Yeah, this clown at New York Times called the Bee a right-wing misinformation site. The Bee was the only example he gave to substantiate the claim that in 2019 and 2020, Facebook often dealt with far-right misinformation that used satire claims to protect their presence. You'll notice that his words, trafficked in misinformation, contain a hyperlink. You would assume, Mr. Isaac being the consummate professional that he is, working for the prestigious Gray Lady, that the link would take you to a story substantiating his claims that the Bee, you know, trafficked in misinformation. It does not. It leads you to this story about how the Bee is a successful and legitimate satire site that takes shots at both sides of the aisle. Read the whole thing. No mention of misinformation at all. This is the only paragraph that even comes close. Quote, the Bee found itself walking the thin line between satire and fact in 2018 when it joked that CNN purchased an industrial-sized washing machine for spinning the news. That's pretty funny. However obvious it should have been that the comment resided on the satirical side of the ledger, it still led to an awkward vetting by the fact-checking website Snopes and Facebook. The author of that article clearly admits that the fact check was stupid and awkward because the article Snopes went after was absurd and nonsensical and clearly satirical. Oh, yes. I wonder where CNN bought that giant industrial-sized washing machine to spin the news. Could it be Best Buy? Yet Mr. Isaac feels perfectly comfortable implying the Bee is a far-right misinformation site and straight up saying that the Bee traffics in misinformation under the guise of satire. What the heck? How is this even remotely okay? The author of this particular article writes. And don't miss the irony that this shot was lobbed at the Bee in the article defending liberal satire. So it all depends on whose ox is getting gored. If it's liberal satire, that's okay. If there's ever a hint of it being... So the Babylon Bee, which goes both slams right and left. I mean, there's some times when the Babylon Bee is slamming somebody on the conservative side or a Christian or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, maybe that crossed a line. Where it's almost offended me. I'm not that easily offended, but it almost, and I'm like, it cuts both sides. That's the beauty of it. So to say, oh, satires. So when they cut to the left, uh-oh, we got to deal with these guys. Got to cancel them. Now, this one's really scary, okay? This is on the Daily Wire. This is from several weeks ago, February 27th. Did you know this? Did you catch this? Maybe you heard a little bit about it, but this is really scary. So listen, because this is where this is going. It's just, I mean, I don't like Nazi Germany fascist comparisons, but this one's got the potential to just be really dangerous. As noted in the Daily Wire, Amazon has ramped up its censorship on conservative views in recent weeks. This is from February 27th. For example, a popular documentary on the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was banned from their streaming service this past week. Before that move, the company deplatformed conservative Ryan Anderson's book, Critical of Gender Theory, when Harry became Sally, responding to the transgender movement because he talked about gender dysphoria, which is the mental condition, the emotional, mental, psychological condition behind transgenderism, okay? When Just the News reached out to Amazon over the ban on Anderson's book, the outlet said the company directed him to a page outlining their content guidelines for books. Under a section labeled offensive content, Amazon states that they, quote, don't sell certain content, including content that we determine is hate speech, promotes the abuse or sexual exploitation of children, contains pornography, glorifies rape or pedophilia, advocates terrorism, or other material we deem inappropriate or offensive, unquote. A review of those policy changes suggests that sometimes in the last few months, Amazon made a major change to the ways in which it moderates book content on its servers, imposing a much stricter standard on books that it had previously not done, the report said. It appears the company recently added so-called hate speech to their guidelines on book platforming and amping up their censorship of the quote-unquote offensive. Daily Wire podcast host and conservative author Matt Walsh warned that the designation from Amazon broadened to include conservative views, as it seems to be leaning, could lead to the potential end of conservative books in general. And I would add Christian books in there. Now listen, come on, Steve, that's a little over the top. Really? Listen. Publishers won't bother publishing books that can't be sold on Amazon. Why would you? Did you know that 83% of book sales pass through Amazon? So if you're a publisher and you got some conservative, wacko, white Christian wants to write a book about the culture or whatever, and Amazon is not going to put it out there because they think it's hate speech, that cuts off 83% of your potential sales. Why publish the book? That makes perfect sense to me. Publishers won't bother publishing books can't be sold on Amazon, Matt said. This is a hugely important issue. I don't think it's getting all the attention it deserves. It definitely isn't. Author and critic of progressive gender theory, Abigail Schreier, posted a lengthy thread on Twitter offering a similar warning. We're really not making a big enough deal of the fact that Amazon has begun deleting books, she said shortly after this article in February. Amazon now claims the right to bar all books that are, quote unquote, inappropriate or offensive. Of course, nearly every book worth reading could be characterized as inappropriate or offensive to someone. But also, she tweeted, Amazon is manifestly dishonest about censoring books that are offensive or inappropriate. They continue to sell books like this, which discusses very young children performing fellatio, Schreier highlighted, and I don't believe they should stop selling it. It's called free speech to some people. It does have its limits, right? That's a whole other argument. Books that surprise and inform and challenge us to see things differently are usually offensive to someone. In the short term, sounding the alarm may increase sales of a particular book, but this is a dangerous move, and we're all too complacent about it, she said. When a company controls over 83% of the market for books, it begins the process of deleting ideas from a society, the author argued. This is a powerful point. That's why I'm bringing this up. A bookseller can sell whatever it wants. If Marxist books want to only sell books that conform to its ideology, okay, that has integrity. But this is the world's largest bookseller. Amazon can basically make books disappear for all readers and does so on a blatantly dishonest basis. Under the guise of removing inappropriate content, they will really be removing ideas they disfavor. You got to understand the power of scale here. So they just start. He who has the gold makes the rules. They control 83% of the book market. Your book won't get published if Amazon says it's hateful or offensive, if they say it based on their own criteria. Yes, thank you, Hayden on Facebook. Break up Amazon. That's a whole nother story. Thank you, Barack Obama. When they went after Google, But now Google, Amazon, big tech's in bed with progressive ideology. This is dangerous stuff, friend. Thank God I'm out of here one day. The new heavens and the new earth. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.